Chapter 5. Family Secrets. The next morning, Maya woke up to the same noise in her head of helicopters, guns, and screams. She closed her eyes and waited for them to disappear. Then, she got out of bed and got ready to go to the Burkitts' home. Today was the meeting with the family lawyer to read Joe's will. She took Lily to the daycare center and drove to the Burkitts' house. When she switched on the radio, they were talking about Corey Rudzinski on the news. Corey Rudzinski has promised that he has plenty of new information to release to the world that will definitely end some people's careers, Maya heard. Despite telling Shane that she did not care, this news frightened her. Corey still had the audio from her video to release. The Burkitts' home was huge, like the kind of rich person's house that you see in movies. Maya drove through the gate and up a hill past the family's private soccer field. Joe's mother, Judith, was waiting outside the house for her. She was a beautiful, clever, and rich woman who still got attention from men. Maya got out of the car, and she and Judith kissed each other on the cheek.
"You need to make things better with Isabella," said Judith.
"You can help me with that if you tell me where she is," said Maya.
"I don't know, but I understand that she's traveling. Let me be direct, Maya," said Judith. "Your husband was murdered, and you saw it happen. You're now taking care of your daughter alone, and you still have PTSD. It's clear to me that you need to see a doctor and get some help."
"I'm fine, Judith," said Maya. A voice said, "Mom?" Judith turned around. It was Caroline, Joe's sister. While Judith was a strong woman, her daughter was the opposite and always looked a little scared. After kissing Caroline, Maya followed her and Judith into the library, where Neil, Joe's youngest brother, was waiting. Joe had been the oldest, and the middle brother, Andrew, had died at sea. Neil was the youngest son, and although Joe was the first child, their father had made Neil the boss of the Burkitt family company. Joe had not been angry about it.
"Neil is better at business," he had said.
The lawyer, Heather Howell, came into the library and everyone sat down. Heather looked a little nervous.
"I'm afraid that we cannot read the will today," she said.
Judith looked at Caroline, who said nothing. Then she looked at Maya and back at Heather.
"Can you explain what's going on?" said Judith.
"We don't have the correct documents yet," said Heather. "Because Joe was murdered, we need to wait for the police to say that they've checked everything before we can open the envelope with the will."
"What do you mean, checked everything?" said Neil. "Do you mean to check that Joe is dead?"
Heather looked uncomfortable.
"I'm sure that it's not a big problem. I'll contact you again when I have more information."
Everyone was silent as Heather left the room.
"I suppose that this is how lawyers are," Judith said. "I'm sure that they'll fix it soon."
Everyone got up to leave.
"Keep in contact, Maya," said Judith.
"I will," said Maya. When Judith had left, Maya walked to her car and saw Caroline waiting beside it.
"Do you have a moment to talk?" asked Caroline.
Not really, Maya thought. She wanted to leave immediately to start looking for Isabella and go to Leather and Lace. However, she agreed to take a walk with Caroline in the gardens, hoping that it would not take long.
"My father built that soccer field for Joe and Andrew. They loved soccer," Caroline said as they walked toward it.
Maya nodded but did not say anything. She wanted Caroline to hurry up, but it was clear that Caroline wanted to tell her something important, so she had to be patient.
"Do you know much about my brother, Andrew? Asked Caroline.
Although Maya said no, she actually knew the biggest secret about Andrew, because Joe had told her.
The world thinks that my brother died because he fell off a boat at sea,
Joe had said.
But the truth is that Andrew jumped. It was suicide, Maya. But my family don't want anyone to know that.
Joe and Andrew loved each other, said Caroline. They went to the same high school, Franklin Biddle Academy, near Philadelphia. They lived together and played soccer on the same team. Then, Caroline turned to look directly at Maya.
Maya, what do you think about this problem with the will?
I don't know, said Maya.
Did you see Joe's body before the funeral? Asked Caroline.
Maya slowly shook her head.
No,
she said.
Neither did I, said Caroline. Although I did ask to see him. It was the same with Andrew. I didn't see his body either.
This surprised Maya. The police found Andrew's body, didn't they?
That's what I was told, Caroline said. But I was young and they never let me see him. Two of my brothers are dead, but I saw no bodies. It's like...
Caroline turned and stared straight into Maya's eyes.
It's like they could both be alive.
Maya did not move.
But they aren't alive, Caroline. And I was there when Joe died.
But you didn't actually see him die, did you? Said Caroline. You ran away before the third shot. And Isabella said that you had a fight with her. She said that you were screaming about seeing Joe on your nanny cam.
Listen to me, Caroline. The police have been doing an investigation. They even found the two guys who were there in the park. Joe is dead.
Caroline was silent for a moment.
Then she said, There's one more thing. Do you know the detective who's investigating Joe's death, Roger Kearse?
Yes, said Maya. What about him?
This is going to sound crazy, but I found out that our family's private bank has been paying Kearse. He was paid $9,000 a few times.
Maya stared at her. Was this before or after Joe's death?
I'm positive that the first time was before, said Caroline.
What's going on? Maya thought. Caroline might be lying to her. She could ask Judith and Neil, but they could just lie too. Until she could get more information, it was better to say nothing and carry on with her plan of talking to Isabella and going to Leather and Lace. Maya went to Isabella's house and knocked on the door again. This time, Hector opened it.
Isabella isn't here. She's gone abroad, he said.
That's a lie, thought Maya. When will she be back? She asked.
She'll call you. Please stop coming here.
Maya had been sure that Hector would lie to her. Isabella was definitely not abroad. As Maya left, she passed by Hector's truck and put a GPS tracker on it. This way, she could check where he was going and find Isabella. The strip club, Leather and Lace, opened at 11 o'clock in the morning. There was a tall security guard at the door.
I need to speak to the boss, Maya said.
She was taken into an office where a woman was sitting behind a desk. She smiled at Maya.
I'm Lulu. How can I help you?
My sister used to make phone calls to here, said Maya. Her name was Claire Walker. Does that name mean anything to you?
No. And to be honest, if it did mean anything, I wouldn't tell you. We keep things secret for our customers, miss.
My name's Maya Stern, and my sister was murdered 4 months ago. She had a secret phone, and the only calls that she made or received were from this place.
I'm Very sorry to hear about your sister, said Lulu, but I can't help you. We don't keep our security camera videos for longer than 2 weeks, so there won't be anything from 4 months ago.
Fine, said Maya unhappily.
Lulu was already moving toward the door.
I'm sorry.
Maya walked out of the exit into the bright sun.
What should she do now?
She could go to the police, but that would mean talking to Kearse.
Maya did not know whether to believe Caroline's story about him, but she was not ready to trust him.
The only person she still trusted was Shane, who she was meeting tonight at the gun range. Maybe she would talk to him, but he was starting to ask too many questions. She started walking toward her car, then stopped. Across the parking lot, she saw the red car that had followed her before. The license plate was the same. She opened her purse and took out another GPS tracker. But as she started walking toward the car, a voice behind her said,
That's the wrong way.
It was the security guard.
That area is only for people who are employed here,
he said.
Your car is parked on the other side.
The security guard walked with Maya to her car and waited for her to get in. She needed another plan. There was a factory building just down the road with some parking outside. If she parked there, she could watch the red car and follow it if the driver came back. So she drove her car there and waited. After some time, a man came out of a side door of the strip club. He had a big beard, but his face reminded her of someone. He got into the red car and drove out of the parking lot. Maya followed him, but after a few minutes, she realized that her plan could not work. First, this man had followed her before, so he knew what her car looked like. Second, the security guard or Lulu had probably told the man about her visit. Third, maybe the driver had put a GPS tracker on her car earlier, so he would know that she was behind him. Should she leave and come back another day with a new plan? No, Maya needed answers, so it was time to take action now. She increased her speed, drove around the car, and stopped in front of it. Taking her gun out of her purse, she got out of her car and into the passenger seat of the red one. As she closed the door, she pointed the gun at the driver's head. The man turned and smiled at her.
Hey, Maya. It's nice to finally meet you.
Maya stared at him in shock. It was Corey Rudzinski.